Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, so this is about Russia's campaign in Ukraine, and why is it going so badly? Remember, the supposed 48-hour war has been going on for, 14 months now? And there were some very fascinating leaked documents that have come out, about 100 documents published some days ago on this site for gamers. It's not absolutely clear if these ones are genuine or not. It appears they're mostly genuine, but some of them are doctored. It seems to be the US assessment of what's going on, the Defense Department, some of them marked top secret. But by any measure, the Russian campaign has been an abysmal failure. They held about 10% of Ukraine before this war properly began in February last year. They gained about another 10%, all right, so about 20% in total. They actually had slightly more than that, but they lost some of it. Anyway, they wanted to take the whole of Donetsk district, Luhansk district. They don't even control half of it. They don't control the capital of either district. Zaporizhia district, they don't control the capital of that one or the whole of the district, even Kherson district. No, they did actually hold the city of Kherson for a few months, but had to give it up. They have held the whole of the Crimean district since way back in 2014. So it has been pathetic. Well, partly because their military technology is substandard. Now, admittedly, the Ukrainians were usually using Soviet-era military technology. Ukraine's got its own military manufacturing industry, much smaller than that of Russia. Russia, so far as I know, never buys military technology from abroad, sees itself as an exporter. And Ukraine's been given better military technology, certainly since the war began. So they're being upgraded, whilst there's a degradation of the Russian military technology. They have just fewer tanks, fewer artillery pieces, not lost many planes out of thousands of aircraft. I got 3,000 aircraft and helicopters in total. The Russians have only lost about 70, and they have not used very much, and they really haven't risked it. Partly they say the plan was misconceived. And an invasion, one needs to outnumber the foe 3-1, and it was about 1-1. The Ukrainians probably actually have a numerical advantage at the moment. So it was overly ambitious. They grossly underestimated Ukrainian resolve, and the Ukrainian will to fight is there, doesn't show any sign of breaking. There was this misconceived strategy to deprive civilians of energy in the winter, to freeze them to death, just to break their will to resist, but didn't lead to submission. So targeting power stations, electricity substations, yes, they cut them off for electricity. Sometimes up to 40% of the country is going without electricity, but they've got through it now. It's spring now. They've got more generators. They repaired it quite fast, being connected to the European electric grid. One thing Ukrainians haven't done, I think, is to build renewable energy. So, you know, if you're not getting electricity from whatever, importing it from Romania or something, well, don't worry, you've still got some wind, some waves, whatever, some solar power. Get some sort of energy. I know that's kind of expensive, and Ukraine's got very little money. The whole thing's funded by Western countries anyway. They need 6 billion euros per month just to keep going. So the Russian army is just overly centralized. People are promoted on the basis of blind loyalty, not competence. It encourages sycophancy of never facing up to problems. I know there seems to be groupthink in all militaries, but the Russian army seems to be egregiously bad on this one, that they won't speak truth to power, say, no, we can't do it. No, we're not well equipped. No, we don't have enough troops or whatever it is. They won't tell the plain truth. Though, got to hand it to Surovikin, I think he's the one who did it, said, no, we cannot actually hold Kherson, managed to convince Putin to allow him to order withdrawal, which was surely the right decision. He's since been demoted. But will Gerasimov, who's overall in command in Ukraine, will he be sacked? Because a number of other people have been. Will Sergei Shoigu, the defense minister, will he be dismissed? Maybe. Now, Putin doesn't like dismissing these people because it appears to be an admission of failure. But they might have to be a lightning conductor, because if they're not responsible, who is? Well, the one really responsible is the man at the top, Putin. He appointed the people who failed, so it was his poor choice, as well as going ahead with this plan, as well as believing his subordinates when they told him things were going well. So, the superordinates should take more responsibility than the subordinates, and the FSB saying, yeah, you know, most Ukrainians are actually Russophiles, and the Ukrainian military will crumble within days. This will just be a prolonged victory parade all the way into Kyiv. And they couldn't have been more wrong, that there's really no will in Western countries to arm and fund the Ukrainian military. Well, appeared to be dead wrong. So they obviously greatly overestimated their own abilities. And they have ramped up to production, but it appears not to be meeting the loss rate. Ukraine held on long enough for the West to consider, well, this is not a lost cause. If it was a forlorn hope, then the Western countries wouldn't have provided them with HIMARS, tanks, all the rest of it, Javelin, missile systems. And now they've been trained on some US-manufactured planes. Will they actually be given the jets? The United States says, no way. Now, they've not been given the really long-range missiles which strike deep inside Russia. Would Russia consider this a red line? Would they go to nuclear war? Well, you know, that'd be the end of the world. How would that be a gain for Russia? So I don't think so. But people say, well, there's even a tiny chance that we mustn't take that risk. Will they go for tactical nuclear weapons? I mean, again, I don't think so. I thought they actually would do something small scale about this last October, because Putin said this is not a bluff. Well, it was, because, you know, he would have done it by November. So Putin's order to Gerasimov was to ensure the whole of Donetsk district was taken by the end of March 2023. Well, we're now on the 10th of April 2023, and not only is not the whole of Donetsk been taken, even the city of Bakhmut hasn't been taken. So there really is an appalling failure. So just using tactics which are a century out of date, and then obviously massed artillery barrages, and that's had an effect on the Ukrainians. It's certainly caused some casualties, but it's always been about firepower. I mean, really the rate of fire, not the accuracy of the fire, not the range or anything like that. And not maneuverability. So they're just very slow, very cumbersome, very predictable. And so that's why they've not been performing very well. So for all sorts of reasons, they have failed and don't really seem to see a way out of this. Just having to eat mud at Bakhmut. And the strategy now seems to be to sit it out, to simply keep the war going. Although they seem to be also holding out the olive branch. Could they negotiate, pressurize the world in other ways, end this Black Sea Grain Initiative, which is this United Nations-sponsored agreement whereby Ukraine will be allowed to sell its grain and neutral ships will be able to take the grain from the few Black Sea ports remaining in Ukrainian hands, such as Chernomorsk and Odessa, and it'll be stopped in the Black Sea, inspected by the Russians, allowed to pass on through the Bosphorus, that's the Turkish waterway through Istanbul, onto the Aegean Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and all over the world, selling particularly to Egypt, Syria, Bangladesh, Spain, the Netherlands, I can't think whoever else. And these ships, when they're coming into the Ukrainian ports, they're stopped and inspected by the Russians to verify that they're not importing any weaponry for the Ukrainians. But the Ruskis only agreed to a 60-day extension. It's due to run out early this summer. But I don't see how that will redound to Russia's advantage. But they're somewhat desperate, floundering for a way out of this. Putin's just said he doesn't see this conflict going on forever. He thought it was going to be over a long time ago. So would accept, at least as an interim arrangement, liminality around the illegally occupied territories, something like that. Would Ukraine agree never to join NATO, or NATO agree never to let Ukraine in, or not to join the European Union, or not for a set period of time, or something, that there will be no war crimes trial? Some sort of face saver, because obviously this is hurting the Russian economy, not that badly, not as badly as I anticipated, many people thought, but it's cumulative, you know, lost a few percentage last year, a few percent off GDP this year, a few percent off GDP next year. And all the while their cost of manufacturing weaponry is going up, employing more troops and so on. And Russia's stock around the world is diminishing. You know, it's losing its soft power. Cultural capital, as you know, its shows abroad are cancelled. Russian ballet, Russian opera, or Russian music stars not invited, might be banned from some sporting competitions. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Goodbye.